Madam President, I impose a call of the Senate.
Senate is under call. Senator Sangem.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Today's chaplain is Reverend David Colby from Central Presbyterian Church in St. Paul. And following the prayer, please remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance.
Let us pray. Holy God, God of all time and place, eternal and elusive yet remarkably available, we ask for your presence and guidance for this place and for this time. Mindful as we are of deadlines and shifting schedules, keep us cognizant of the value of this moment and the possibilities for today. Since we have no guarantees of the future, help us to live and act so that today has promise for us and others. Keep us open to goodness and surprises. Keep us humble. Grant us wisdom and courage for the living of today. Amen.
Secretary will take the roll.
Senators Bach, Benson, Bonhoff, Brown, Carlson, Chamberlain, Cohen, Dames, Daly, DeCraif, Dibble, Dietzick, Eaton, Fishbach, Gazelka, Gerlach, Gimsey, Goodwin, Hall, Han, Harrington, Hayden, Higgins, Hoffman, Howe, Ingerbretson, Jungbauer, Kielash, Koch, Kunin, Cruz, Langseth, Latz, Lilly, Limmer, Laurie, Magnus, Marty, McGuire, Metzen, Michelle, Miller, Nelson, Newman, Nino, Olson, Ortman, Pappas, Perry, Peterson, Reinert, Rust, Roebling, Rosen, Saxog, Senjum, Sharon, Zeben, Skoy, Sparks, Stumpf, Thompson, Tomasoni, Torres, Ray, Vandeveer, Uyghur, Wolf.
A quorum is present. Moving to the second order of business, executive and official communications, there is one communication to make note of on page one of today's Senate agenda. Moving to the third order of business, messages from the House. The Secretary will read the message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce the passage by the House of the following Senate file. Herewith returned, Senate File 1656, Bill for an Act Relating to Education. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has acceded to the request of the Senate for the appointment of a conference committee consisting of three members of the House on the amendments adopted by the House of the following Senate file. Senate File 1653, Bill for an Act Relating to Labor and Industry. There has been appointed a such committee on the part of the House, Sanders, Dott, and Nelson. Senate File 1653 is herewith returned to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
There's no Senate action necessary on that message. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House refuses to concur in the Senate amendments to House File Number 1721, a bill for an act relating to economic development. The House respectfully requests that the Conference Committee of three members be appointed thereon. Gunther, Murray, and Mahoney have been appointed as such committee on the part of the House. House File 1721 is herewith transmitted to the Senate with a request that the Senate appoint a like committee. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Rosen.
Madam President, I move that the Senate accede to the request of the House for a conference committee on House File 1721 and that the conference committee of three members be appointed by the subcommittee on conference committees on the part of the Senate to act with a like conference committee appointed on the part of the House.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. There are several messages that are not printed in the agenda. The Secretary will read the next message.
Madam President, I have the honor to announce that the House has adopted the recommendation report of the Conference Committee on House File Number 2269 and repassed said bill in accordance with the report of the committee. So adopted, House File 2269, a bill for an act relating to elections. House File 2269 is herewith transmitted to the Senate. Albany Mathewitz, Chief Clerk, House of Representatives.
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the foregoing recommendations and Conference Committee report on House File Number 2269 be now adopted and that the bill be repassed as amended by the Conference Committee.
To that motion, Senator Perry.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair, President, and members. This is the HAVA bill that we had on the floor. Let me just really quickly go through. I believe we've come to a good decision moving forward here. As you recall, when this bill left the Senate floor, we had specific requirements in our bill for $50,000 for military and overseas empowerment act compliance. We also had $120,000 for support of local election officials. And then we had $50,000 for eligibility notification letters to felons if required by law. And we also had $250,000 appropriated in fiscal year 2013 to the State Secretary of State. What we what we're coming back here with members is a bill agreed to between the House and the Senate in conference committee, which would take and raise the $250,000 being appropriated to approximately $580,000. We still kept our $50,000 earmarked for the Military and Overseas Empowerment Act compliance. We kept $100,000 appropriated to be used only for the cost associated with implementing the laws enacted in 2012 dealing with election administration procedures for individuals, the convicted felon. We also, what we have in here is two lines from the House bill, which states the Secretary of State must not make any reductions to the Business Services Division to offset any reductions to election services. Now, one might question, why did we jump from $250,000 to $580,000? Well, Secretary of State Ritchie was there talking to us, and I think the question was asked, at the $750,000 total level, what can you do with that? What happens? Do you have to reduce a part of the 65 employees? Do we increase employees? What will you do? And I think the convincing thing for me was Secretary Ritchie said, we will maintain a core staff and be able to carry out our duties. And that was the clincher. And again, I think this is a good bill coming back to us. It does leave approximately $1 million in the HAVA account for next year, which I think is a good starting point for the new legislature coming back next year. And I would ask for a green vote on this.
Further discussion of the Perry motion. Seeing none, Senator Perry renews his motion that the foregoing recommendations and conference committee report on House File 2269 be now adopted and the bill be repassed as amended by the conference committee. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Secretary will give House File 2269 its third reading.
House File Number 2269, a bill for an act relating to elections. Third reading.
Secretary will take the roll on House File 2269. All those senators having voted? All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 57 ayes and no nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Moving on to the ninth order of business, motions and resolutions. There are several Senate resolutions printed on page 3 of today's Senate agenda. They will be referred to rules. Senator Gazelka?
Madam President, make a motion for a brief recess at the call of the chair. I believe it will be less than 30 minutes.
Senator Gazelka has moved for a brief recess. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are in recess.
Madam President, I move that further proceedings under the roll call be dispensed with and the Sergeant of Arms be instructed to bring in the absent members.
On that motion, all in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Remaining on motions and resolutions, Senator Sanchez.
Madam President, I move that House File Number 2685 be taken from the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Sanchez.
Madam President, pursuant to Rule 26, I designate House File Number 2685 to be made a special order for immediate consideration.
Senator Sanchez has designated a special order. We will take it up immediately. Senator Gimsey.
Madam President, I move to amend House File 2685 as follows. Delete everything after the enacting clause and delete the title of House File Number 2685 and insert the language after the enacting clause and the title of Senate File Number 2321, the third engrossment.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. House File 2685 is what we call the Transportation Policy Omnibus Number 2 bill. And I'll go through the provisions. This is what we have done is we put the Senate file onto the House file, and I'll go through the provisions that we heard in committee this year and the provisions that we enacted in the Transportation Committee. I'll start out with a Senjum bill that designates the black and yellow trail highway. This is U.S. Highway 14. And Senator Higgins, I see here, has a little of the history of it. But what it does is designates U.S. Highway 14 from the South Dakota to the Wisconsin border as the Black and Yellow Trail. This is a there's a lot of history to this, but what it is it really was conceived to as part of the Yellowstone traffic that moved along there from the Black Hills to Yellowstone, and this is just a designation. All that will really happen as far as the designation goes is that signs will be put up at both the Dakota border and the border of Wisconsin to designate that. The second bill in this omnibus bill is a Perry provision. What this is a license plate placement bill. It clarifies existing law and also clearly states that one plate must be on the front and one plate on the rear of the vehicle where there is exterior placement in the manufacturer of the vehicle for that plate. Senate File 1147, that is construction manager general contractor provision. This authorizes MnDOT to use construction manager general contractors in highway construction. The general manager or general contractor construction manager is defined as an entity selected by the commissioner to manage the construction process to be responsible for price, schedule, and execution of pre-construction services and workmanship of a construction project. The commissioner of transportation will have the final authority to decide to use a construction manager and or general contractor, and in the contracting procedure, this provision limits this to four projects annually, and the total number of projects that would be authorized under this is 10. And there are some reporting requirements in here also where MnDOT will report back and tell us why they used this method of doing these road projects. The next bill is a good one, Bill. It's the policy portion of the safe routes to school provisions. And I believe maybe Senator Goodwin doesn't have an amendment. I think the language is straightened out now. We don't need your amendment, but the language in here complies with what is in the bonding bill, and everything should be squared away. So just a very good bill that creates a capital investment for safe and appealing non-motorized transportation to and from school for our kids. And what the goal here is to have our kids bicycle or walk to school along some designated and safe routes that will help them with their health and also get them outside a little bit more. The next provision is the trunk highway contingency appropriations. What this bill will do is if a budget is not enacted by July 1st, this will continue the funding for a very narrow group of projects that have been contracted and the work has begun on them, and will allow those projects to continue. Last July, I believe 165 projects in the state of Minnesota were shut down. The dollars that are used for these projects are constitutionally dedicated dollars, and we would the problem with shutting these projects down is that the expense accumulates and becomes very high in doing the negotiations on the shutdown expenses. And so what we're trying to do with this provision is to keep it very narrow, but to allow those specific projects to continue in the event that we have another government shutdown in upcoming years. The next provision is a Chamberlain provision. It's the sheriff vehicle paint colors. Under current law, county sheriff vehicles must be painted predominantly brown and white. What this provision will do is allow for the color, the addition of the colors of black and gold. The next provision in here is a Chamberlain, Senate File 1661. It's the MSAS extension for cities under 5,000. What we run into is after the census, if a city loses population and ekes under the 5,000 population, they lose their MSAS funding. And in a lot of cases, they have planned their road projects, which is typical for our local units of government to do, and are counting on that money. All we're doing here is allowing them some additional time. It's actually 4 years to finish those projects, to move through the process. And then also there's a provision in here that would continue the MSAS funding for debt service for the municipal bonds until they're retired. The next provision is a Decryf provision. It's the AMC rules and permitting study. MnDOT is prohibited from using the expedited rulemaking process for adopting rules related to MSAS and CSAH, so fund systems, revenue generated from a $300 permit fee for hauling unfinished forest products and special farm products is transferred from the trunk highway fund to the bridge inspection and signing account. And also in here, MnDOT, the DNR, and the PCA must report to the legislature by November 15th of 2012 on streamlining of water-related permitting for transportation projects. The next provision in this bill is the motorcycle road guard certification. This is a Hoffman bill. What this allows is for the establishment of a certification for and training for flaggers that would stop traffic during these motorcycle rallies and motorcycle rides. A lot of these rides are for nonprofit groups and for good causes, but we want to be sure that they're safe and that we have a good system for training these folks when they go out there and control traffic through towns and around the rural and city areas when they're passing through there as a part of one of these rides. This provision establishes the rules and the guidelines. DPS will set those up with consultation with the stakeholders and set that program into motion. The next provision is a rest bill. It's the infrastructure accident reporting. And what this does is allow the Commissioner of Public Safety, it says they must provide the Commissioner of Transportation with copies of accident reports of involving damage to state-owned infrastructure. What happens out there is in a lot of cases where we have a vehicle accident, they take out a barrier or some other state-owned property in an accident, and unless the Commissioner of Transportation can get a copy of the accident report, we end up eating the cost of replacing those items, and what we want to do is be able to recover those costs either through insurance or through the people who were involved in the accident. The next provision is Senate File 1733. It's a stump provision that increases the distance that farmers and producers of forest products and farm products can go on their first haul from, say, the field to the elevator. Current law, it allows only 50 miles, and in a lot of cases in greater Minnesota and certainly up in the northwest part of the state, 50 miles doesn't get you very far when it comes from going from your field to the elevator or where you're going to sell your grain or wood product. We're just increasing that to 100 miles. And also as a part of this bill and provision in it, there is a provision that makes a cutoff for the highway patrol when they're going into these elevators and inspecting their weight tickets. Currently, under current law, they can go in and wait 6 months before they send out a ticket to somebody who might have an overload situation, and this reduces that to a 90-day window for them to do that. The next provision is a salvage title damage disclosure. This is a Gazelka bill. This makes several changes to current law regarding vehicle salvage titles and damage disclosure requirements. First, the definition of high-valued vehicle is changed to specify that a vehicle with a gross vehicle weight over 26,000 pounds is high value only if it's not a late model vehicle. The definition of late model vehicle is changed from a vehicle manufactured within five model years to a vehicle with a designated model within five calendar years. The period of time for an insurer to notify the Department of Public Safety of having acquired ownership of a late model or high value vehicle is extended from 48 hours, which is a relatively short period of time. It now gives them 10 days. The damage threshold where an owner of a late model or high value vehicle must apply for a salvage title is increased from 70 to 80%. And this bill also has the inclusion of expenses related to airbags, which can be very high in some of these vehicles in the calculation of the damage estimate. The next provision is a freight rail study, Senate File 1926. This bill requires the Commissioner of Transportation in cooperation with DEED to conduct a freight rail study and the economic impacts of freight rail in the state of Minnesota. We recently completed a rail study, but the emphasis of that was not so much on freight and the freight rail system as it was on other rail provisions. But what this study will do is allow an expanded study for freight rail specifically and the impacts that freight rail have on the economy of the state of Minnesota. The interim progress report for this will be January 15th of 2015 with a final report of September 1st of 2013. And MnDOT may spend up to $216,000 for the cost of that study. those dollars will be coming out of the Minnesota Rail Service Improvement Program. The next provision in this bill is a Chamberlain bill. Certain vehicle tax exemptions, the transportation providers of recipients of medical assistance, home and community-based services waivers, and mobile medical units used for medical or dental services by a federally qualified health care center are exempt from paying the motor fuel tax, and the mobile medical units used for medical and dental services for these qualified plans are also exempt when they're purchased from the motor vehicle sales tax. The next provision is a WOLF provision on bicycle equipment. Bicycles with this provision will be able to use a front lamp that emits a white flashing signal, and tires that may be equipped with studs designed to increase traction. The next provision is a distance-based fare surcharge. This is a DIBLE provision, and it allows the opt-outs. It allows for a pilot program for the opt-outs and also the Met Council to adjust their fares for trips that are greater in length than 15 miles with a surcharge, and that surcharge must be prorated based on the distance traveled by the rider. By August 1st of each year, an opt-out imposing the surcharge must report to the legislature on activities of the program. That's so we can get a handle on what they are generating and how that program is working. The next provision is a BOC provision. It's a farm supplies overweight permit. A road authority may issue an annual permit authorizing a vehicle with six or seven axles to haul farm supplies and be operated with a gross vehicle weight of up to 90,000 pounds or 97,000 pounds based on the number of axles that the vehicle has. So, members, with that, I have a couple of amendments that I would like to offer. And the first amendment, Madam President, is the A52 amendment.
Senator Gimsey has offered the A52 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Gimsey moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate April 30, 2012, as follows. Page 54, delete Section 67. This is the A52 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. And what this amendment does is deletes the provisions in the bill on the public-private partnerships provisions in here. Senator Peterson worked very hard on this bill and worked with a lot of partners and had a very unique idea for how to fund transportation projects in Minnesota as an alternative to the way we currently do it. But this provision isn't ready quite yet for to be passed into law. It needs more work. The author, along with members of the Transportation Committee, recognize that, and this provision would delete those parts of the bill that are a part of this public-private partnership.
Further discussion of the A52 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Gimsey renews his motion the A52 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion on House File 2685, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. I would then offer the A2 amendment.
Senator Gimsey offers the A2 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Gimsey moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 1 after line 24, insert. This is the A2 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Well, thank you, Madam President and members. What this amendment is the supplemental finance bill that passed out of off the floor a couple of weeks ago. And what this does is provides for appropriations for MnDOT for rehabilitation and some additions to some of their facilities and some remodeling. I'll go through it real quick. The trunk highway fund provisions in here include $17 million for the a total of $17.5 million that would go toward renovations at the Wilmer District headquarters, the Plymouth Truck Station, Cambridge Truck Station, the Crookston, Eden Prairie, and Mendota Truck Station designs, overweight motor vehicle registration collection, that's a DeKreif provision. And then this also in Article 3 of this amendment, the Rochester maintenance facility using trunk highway bonds for $16.1 million. And then also in this amendment, we've included $10 million for flood mitigation on trunk highways within the state of Minnesota to resolve some flooding issues that we have along one of our major roadways in the suburban areas. Section 3 also includes $30,000 is appropriated for the sale and expense of these bonds.
Further discussion on the A2 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Gimsey renews his motion the A2 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The amendment is adopted. Further discussion, Senator Gimsey.
With that, Madam Chair, that's an overview of the bill, and I would stand for questions.
I had Senator Saxog first. I'll start a list.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A65 amendment amending Senate File 2321.
Senator Saxog offers the A65 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
He said.
Senator Saxog, is it under someone's name? Is it under your name, or what's at the top of the...
Yeah, it could be under Gimsey, I guess.
Could be under Gimsey. Yes.
Could be. It's under his name. Yeah. 65. Is it really?
We're going to report the amendment.
Senator Saxog moves to amend Senate File House.
Senator Saxog, would you be willing to withdraw the amendment for now, and we'll go on and we'll get this straightened out?
I'd be happy to, Madam President. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Saxog. Senator Saxog withdraws his amendment. Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President. I would offer the A59 amendment.
Senator Skoy, could you repeat the number 59?
59.
Senator Skoy offers the A59 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Skoy moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows, page 32, line 11. This is the A59 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Skoy.
Thank you, Madam President and members. In the bill is a provision that allows farm supplies to be backhauled. The folks wanted a further clarification, so I'm narrowing up the definition of farm supplies to be only livestock and poultry feed, seed, fertilizer, potash, and agricultural lime. I would ask for your support.
To the A59 amendment. Senator Gimsey? No.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Skoy and I did talk about this, and I appreciate him clarifying what farm products were, and this is a good amendment. I'd appreciate your support.
Senator Skoy renews his motion the A59 amendment be adopted to House File 2685. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Dames.
Madam President, I have the A61 amendment, and that will be listed under Senator Koch's name.
Senator Dames offers the A61 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dames moves to amend House File Number 2685, as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows, page 42 after line 24. Insert, this is the A61 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Dames.
Madam President, members, amendment number 61 deals with the civilian escort drivers for loads. This would allow permits to continue the use of civilian escort drivers for loads that do not go over the center line of the road and that do not go the wrong way on a roadway. It applies to manufactured and mobile homes. And this amendment is needed to ensure that the industry is not subject to excess cost due to the rules promulgated by the department. It simply permits the use that has been permitted in the past. An example of how this would affect the manufacturer, Schott Mobile Homes in Redwood Falls, Minnesota, estimates that if they have to use the State Highway Patrol for their escorts, it would increase their cost by approximately $100,000 per year. So this really would be kind of an anti-jobs bill if we don't get this amendment in there. And in 2010, the legislation was passed to allow the department to come up with requirements in a training program. And in so doing, the department eliminated the use of civilian escort drivers. And these are used mainly by the manufactured home industry. I would suggest, or I'd request that the folks vote in support of this amendment.
Further discussion on the A61 amendment. Senator Kielash.
Madam Chair, Senator Dames, I was the author of this bill. This bill has been worked out with over the course of several years, as a matter of fact, to try to professionalize the escort vehicles and the escort folks that were hauling oversized roads, whether it be bulldozers, windmills, manufactured homes, and the manufactured home industry was at the table when these things were designed. There was working with the AGC, working with MnDOT, working with all of these folks to come up with a plan so that the State Patrol would not be required to do this. In fact, we are in the process. The rulemaking is about done. It should be done in the estimate that I've got is that July 1st of this year, and by the fall, the training programs for the pilot escort drivers would be ready to go by the fall of this year. So what this does is, one of the things I think that's a misnomer about this whole thing is the cost to the drivers. What the program is set up so that in approximately 8 hours of training, there would be a train-the-trainer, and that trainer could go into any workplace like a manufactured home site and train all of the pilot escort drivers so that they would be able to comply with the law, they would be able to get a certificate, and they would be able to do this safely and efficiently. Now, I'm not sure if part of your numbers on that, and that if Senator Dames would yield for a question, It has to do with commercial claims, insurance claims, or policies that are required for these escort drivers since they're working in a commercial enterprise. So, is some of that $100,000? I believe you said. For that, or is that just straight for what it would cost to hire a Minnesota State Patrolman?
Madam President and Senator Kielash, the information I have from Schulte Mobile Homes estimates that they will be forced to spend an additional $100,000 per year on transportation costs if they cannot continue to use their civilian escort services. They currently need 8 civilian escort drivers a day, and 80% of their homes transported use civilian escorts. Also, I did fail to point out in the earlier, when I was talking about the A61 amendment, what this does is currently this goes into, these rules go into effect on 2014. It would extend it out 1 year to 2014, and the Minnesota Manufactured Housing Association has been dealing with the department, and the department does agree with this language.
Senator Kielash.
Madam President, one of the things that there is already extension out, so when this pilot program goes into effect and this training program goes into effect, you have a year from the time that is done in order to get your folks up to speed. These companies need 8 drivers a day. They can continue to use those drivers. The training for them is minimal, but it ensures that everybody is working on the same page, that it's professionalized. The whole training program is based on a successful Utah program where they were doing this with manufactured home and construction vehicles, and they've been able to cut down on the number of injuries to both the public, because pilot escort vehicles and the drivers know how to direct traffic and also stay out of harm's way while they're directing traffic and make sure that it's done properly and correctly. And in fact, this training program is also for the state patrol, which while they do the escort, they've never really had any training for it. So this is a program that's been put together by both the private sector and the public safety department of the state of Minnesota, and the training program is going to be available very soon for minimal cost. Extending this out and exempting these drivers manufactured home companies are a little misleading in how much it's going to cost them, because that cost is the same. All we're really asking them to do is make sure those same 8 people are professionals, that they've got commercial insurance so that their vehicles are covered while they're doing commercial driving, which is currently required under state law. It's not a new law that doesn't change anything. And that the state patrol knows that when they see a pilot car working in the state of Minnesota by one of these manufactured home or construction companies, they know that after a certain date when the training has taken place, that they can expect that these people to have the same safety training that the Minnesota State Patrol has. So this is a bad change in this bill. It weakens it and adds confusion to the whole pilot car program. So I would vote against this. We have a program in place that's being developed and has been developed by it was brought to me by the business community, by the Associated General Contractors, and like I said, there's been a lot of hours worked to put this thing together. It seems a little inappropriate to pull the plug on it just prior to when it can start taking effect and the safety of Minnesota drivers can be enhanced by this. So I would urge you to vote against this.
Senator Gimsey.
Well, thank you, Madam President and members. And Senator Kielash did a very good job of explaining what all went into this program, and he's exactly right on many, many accounts of what actually happened to make this possible. Nothing will really change as far as the requirements for these mobile home folks, they will still be required to comply. All this amendment does is give them an additional year in order to ramp up, you know, be involved in the rulemaking process. And they were in my office, and I told them, you stay with the process, you get your input into the rulemaking, and you be involved in it at every step. And they assured me that they would. And with that, also in a note back from the administration, the governor's administration, they have requested that the Koch Amendment, which is the Dames Amendment now, be adopted regarding this exemption. So the department is on board. I understand your heartburn, Senator Kielash, but this just gives them a little extra time. We will, at the end of this process, have very professional and well-trained escort pilots in the state of Minnesota. We will accomplish it. We'll just give these folks a little additional time.
Senator Dames.
Madam President, members, one of the reasons this amendment is coming forward is the Minnesota Manufacturing Housing Association was not invited into this discussion, and they were not part of the discussions, and therefore that's why we're requesting 1 year. And Senator Kielash, this is not pulling the plug on the program. It is extending it for 1 year, and I think that's a big difference.
Senator Dibble, to the amendment.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I kind of agree with everyone who's spoken. Senator Kielash is absolutely right, as Senator Gimsey characterized. This has been a product. The certification has been the product of a lot of work over a long period of time. It's been an open and transparent process. And so I'm curious to know why the manufactured home industry feels like they weren't a part of it, because I think it was done in the perfect sunshine of day, and it's been done over quite a long period of time. And of course, you see the Associated General Contractors position, which handed out on my name. They were especially concerned about the prospects of a previous amendment that would have simply exempted some sectors and some manufacturers. And you know, Senator Gimsey and Senator Dames are absolutely right. This is the product of compromise. It's a one-year extension, but it should be noted for the record that we're just about to finalize the certification standards and start this training process that's imminent in the next few weeks. It's actually not that big a deal. It's a fairly simple training program, fairly short in duration, and would simply give people the skills and the knowledge to do what is otherwise potentially a very dangerous task, which is, you know, serving as these pilot cars for these enormous oversized loads. We've all seen them on the highways. It's a pretty big deal when these loads are traveling down the highway, and it's pretty important that all the safety considerations be done appropriately and correctly. And as is currently the practice, just kind of any old Jill or Joe can be asked to hop in their car and do this, and they need some knowledge, and they need some certification to make the public safer. It's good for the industry, etc. Nevertheless, you know, I do understand we're just giving folks another year here. It's probably regrettable, but I understand how things occur around here and how compromise is reached. So I stand with all my friends in this chamber today.
Further discussion of the A61 amendment. Senator Kielash.
Madam President, Senator Gimsey, my biggest concern is that we're carving out an exemption for somebody. And one of the problems is that the drivers of Minnesota will not know whether that manufactured home pilot car has been exempted or not if they're in an accident. And my other concern is that, so this year it's manufactured homes that get exempted. What will it be next year? Will it be rotor blades for windmills or some other large items that need to be transported? The idea behind this was make sure we had consistency across, and so that's why I'm opposed to this, because I just don't think if we start making exceptions that we won't run into more problems as we go down the road, or there won't be more people saying I should be exempted. The training standards on this are pretty minimal. I believe we're looking at about a day to train the trainer, and that trainer would be able to go into the manufactured home and trade all eight folks that are taking those manufactured homes out every day, or 40 of them if they're taking them out all week. It doesn't matter, but the idea is that they all have the same information about how to do it right. It's been approved. It'll be approved by the State Highway Patrol and the Public Safety Department, and it'll just add more safety to the folks driving, and the cost is minimal for the manufactured homes, because they're only sending one guy from their company to get the training with, and then that person can come back and train the whole everybody that's working for that that company. So it's the exception that I'm concerned about. So, and that's why I'm opposed to this.
Further discussion of the A61 amendment. Senator Dames renews his motion. The A61 amendment be adopted. All in favor, say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Further discussion on House File 2685. Senator Saxog, are you prepared yet? Or Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A1 amendment.
Senator Saxog offers the A1 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment. I'm sorry, Senator Saxon.
We'll try this again a little later. Thank you, Madam President.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. I have the A63 amendment.
Senator Dibble offers the A63 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Dibble moves to amend House File 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st as follows. Page 14 after line 32, insert. This is amendment A63.
To the amendment, Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, the A63 amendment is a technical amendment for the most part. What it does, and I've spoken with Senator Wolf, who has an interest in this issue, and Senator Rest and Senator Gimsey as well, and it simply takes the definition of electric-assisted bicycles and places that definition or construes an electric-assisted bicycle as simply a bicycle. It takes it out of the motorized bicycle section and places it in the bicycle section. We continue to be specific about what we're talking about when we're talking about electric-assisted bicycles. And just in case folks are concerned, these are not motorized bicycles and they don't go very fast. What these are simply, to describe them, is are bicycles that allow for a little bit of a boost from a motor that's engaged, or a little electric motor that's engaged while an individual is actually pedaling the bike, and it disengages as soon as they stop pedaling. And it simply allows bicycling. It makes it more available to folks who are perhaps getting a little up there in their years, or who have some other sort of physical limitation, and this helps them participate in bicycling activities or use their bicycle for commuting purposes or the like. The definition that we do leave in simply says that an electric-assisted bicycle meets a number of technical specifications, has an electric motor that has a power output of not more than 1,000 watts, can't go more than 20 miles an hour, et cetera, et cetera. By doing this, Madam President and members, we simply recognize that electric-assist bicycles are just like other bicycles, and they can go in the places that other bicycles can go, unlike motorized bicycles, which we, of course, for reasons that are obvious, because they go so much faster and present a bit of a public safety hazard, we don't allow motorized bicycles like mopeds and things on bicycle trails and places like that, but we should be allowing electric assist bicycles to do that. It does remove, we had at one time, because it fell into the motorized bicycle section, a helmet requirement. We take that out because we don't have that for bicycles. And that's my amendment, Madam President.
Further discussion on the A63 amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Well, thank you, Madam President and members. And this is a good amendment. Senator Dibble has been working on this and trying to find and craft just the right language to cross all of the hurdles and get this important measure for these folks that can utilize these electric-assisted bicycles. And I'd appreciate your support on the bill.
Senator Dibble renews his motion the A63 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would offer the A54 amendment.
Senator Perry offers the A54 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Perry moves to amend House File 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st as follows. Page 37 after line 11, insert. This is Amendment A54.
To the amendment, Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This amendment is an effort to correct a problem that I see coming in regards to the Department of Transportation of the future highway investment, the plans for southern Minnesota. Specifically, this amendment would direct that the four-lane expansion of Highway 14 from Owatonna to Dodge Center and from New Ulm to Mankato, North Mankato, be included in the next update of MnDOT's 20-year plan, and that it be a top priority. It would keep Highway 14 in that plan through any revision until the project is completed. I want to give you just a little bit of background on Highway 14 and the dangers. As many of you know, Highway 14 remains one of the deadliest highways in the state of Minnesota. One of the deadliest highways in the state of Minnesota. Since 2001, there have been 42 fatalities along the corridor between New Ulm and Rochester. There have also been 47 serious injury crashes. 42 fatalities, 47 serious injury crashes. Folks, it doesn't end there. It's not just those that died on Highway 14 or were seriously injured. This has affected many neighbors and friends, relatives, and businesses across that trunk highway. The Owatonna to Dodge Center and North Mankato to New Ulm segments have fatality rates above the state average. North Mankato to New Ulm is almost double the statewide average. You know, commuters and students share the road with excessive amounts of heavy truck traffic flowing east out of New Ulm or flowing west out of Rochester. And the safety problems along Highway 14, they're only going to get worse, members. Communities like Rochester and Owatonna, Mankato and New Ulm are growing rapidly. By 2025, average daily traffic along Highway 14 between North Mankato to New Ulm is projected to increase 60 to 80%. Forecasted traffic volumes are expected to more than double by 2030 between Owatonna and Dodge Center. The road was not built to handle the growing regional centers that align the highway. Expansion is the only solution that will address all the safety and traffic problems. I believe we've had enough of the rumble strips on Highway 14 and the cable rails. I fear MnDOT appears intent to no longer fund major highway expansion projects in southern Minnesota. They have significantly reduced the number of unmet needs across the state from $50 billion to $8.85 billion. They have told the corridor and construction groups that they are now seeking to identify non-expansion solutions for these types of projects. And they have identified cable barriers as a solution to safety problems instead of expansions. Yet they suggest expansion could still be the solution for congestion. Folks, think about this. The majority of the fatalities that I'm talking about and the serious accidents are not happening on the four-lane extension parts. They're happening on the two-lane. Tell me how you put a cable barrier down the center line. It's not practical. Now, while I recognize that funding for transportation is tight right now, as it is for many projects, I do not believe MnDOT should take highway expansion off their list of solutions for the safety problems along Highway 14, or for that matter, the Highway and Transportation Senator Gimsey's district. In fact, a road like Highway 14, expansion is the only sensible solution or choice, because I believe it's the only choice left. All low-cost safety measures are in place, including rumble strips, signage, and lighting. The winding, hilly nature of the road makes it unreasonable to add only turning or passing lanes that we've heard about. Completing a few miles at a time only makes more dangerous because travelers are moving back and forth, two-lane to four-lane, four-lane to two-lane. Any short-term fixes only delay the inevitable. Full expansion will solve these problems and is the only solution left. Madam President and members, moving away from Highway 14 expansion would also be a significant waste of money, and oh, how we've heard how we waste money. Millions have already been spent completing the environmental prep work for expansion and engaging the community. Even more has been spent completing all but two of the segments between New Ulm and Rochester. Moving away from completing the full project washes away all the gains that we've already made. It is an unwise fiscal choice for the department and an unwise policy position for the state. The legislature needs to have a say. I want MnDOT to do the right thing and set the correct priorities. But if the measures they are using conclude that Highway 14 expansion cannot be done or shouldn't be done, then there's something wrong with those priorities. Therefore, if MnDOT is not going to prioritize Highway 14 expansion, I believe the legislature should do so. Finally, members, my amendment would ensure Highway 14 remains a top priority for the state until it is completed. 45 years, members. 45 years, members. 45 years, 42 fatalities, 47 serious injury crashes, and MnDOT wants to move Highway 14 out of their priority list? I urge my colleagues to support this measure and help me. Help those families and friends who are suffering from the fatalities and the serious crash injuries. It's time that the tail quits wagging the dog here, and I believe we as a legislature can help MnDOT set their priorities. I ask for your support.
Further discussion of the A54, Senator Gimsey.
Oh, thank you, Madam President and members. There has not been a better advocate for Highway 14 than Senator Perry, and I commend him for his tenacity and his absolute desire to see that project move forward. And you know, his amendment certainly is appreciated. All across the state of Minnesota, we have roads that could use improvement, and we have fatalities every year. all across the state of Minnesota in every district. It isn't just Senator Perry's district. It's my district and everybody else's that is seeing that. And, you know, the importance of moving forward with the plan, the STIP plan and the ATP process and the involvement of citizens across the state in making the decisions as to what the priorities are for our trunk highway system here is very critical. And, you know, I can certainly appreciate Senator Perry's motivation for this. And, you know, Highway 14 has received a tremendous amount of input and time in our transportation committee. His voice has been heard, the voice of Senator Sharon and her expression of the needs out there on Highway 14 are very well taken. My desire as chair of the transportation committee, though, is not to get parochial. We have resisted that. Previous chairs of transportation committees, including Senator Murphy, have resisted getting parochial and trying to direct highway construction outside of the very complete and comprehensive planning process that MnDOT goes through. And I know that officials have sat down with Senator Perry and said that Highway 14 is a priority for them. They don't plan to take it off of their priority. They will always make it a priority. And with the advocacy of good senators like Senator Sharon and Senator Perry, along with the Highway 14 Coalition Partnership, who has been here on a number of occasions to make their case for this stretch of road. As long as I'm chair, Senator Perry, Highway 14 will always be a priority. It will be discussed. We will not overlook it. But I would just urge members not to get parochial here with our transportation funding dollars and vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Senator Stephen.
Thank you, Madam President. I'm wondering if Senator Perry would please yield.
Senator Perry will yield. Senator Stephen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members and Senator Perry, you're likely familiar that the Hastings Bridge is now being reconstructed because of the additional funding that this legislative body passed several years ago. Prior to that override of the governor's veto, however, the larger Hastings community and surrounding area in the East Metro advocated strongly for the replacement of the Hastings Bridge. The community and policy leaders also lobbied Congress. Specifically, repeatedly, we asked Congressman John Klein to help with in the Federal Surface Transportation Bill with an earmark for the Hastings Bridge. Congressman Klein refused, saying that he was not a supporter of earmarks, and at the time supported an overhaul of the federal earmark policy, which, as you know, has since come to pass. So my question for you, Senator Perry, and I think it's a legitimate question, I don't mean to put you on the spot here, but your amendment certainly seems to be an earmark. I know that you have an interest in running for Congress, but more relevantly here, do you support earmarking specific projects in our transportation bills, and do you support overturning the new federal prohibition on federal earmarks?
Senator Perry.
Thank you, Madam President, and Senator Sieben, thank you very much. No, I don't support earmarks. Never have. What this is about is a program that was in the 20-year plan, and for no good reason, it was taken out of the 20-year plan. No good reason. I have not got that answer. Matter of fact, I was told by the commissioner that Highway 14 would be in the plan. Sat in my office and told me that. And now it's not in the plan. So no, I don't agree with that. I've never liked earmarks. I never will. But why was it taken out of the plan? Nobody can answer that. Nobody can answer that. When you ask the question, was it because safety has increased? Was it because we put 15 million rumble strips on the sides of the road? Was it because we put cable rail? No. It's just because MnDOT doesn't want to do it anymore. What's wrong here? You know, I go back to last year when we were trying to put a budget together. I had commissioners come in and say, "You tell us what to do." I had Commissioner Showalter sit there, "You tell us what to cut. You tell us what programs to keep or let go away." Whoops. What happened? It's 2012, ladies and gentlemen. And now they don't want us to have any involvement? What's with that? Either you want the legislature to direct what you're doing, or you don't. And I contend right now that MnDOT, obviously from what I was told by the commissioner, that it would be in the plan. Now it's not in the plan with no explanation whatsoever. And that's why this amendment comes forth today. Sooner or later, the legislature has to stand up and stop the tail from wagging the dog here. Now, if you want me to talk about Frank and Don Schiefelbein from Kimball, Minnesota, well, Senator Newman and I can talk about the MPCA. If you want to get into that discussion, sooner or later, there's got to be some intestinal fortitude with the legislature to do the right thing. Take back the control. Take back the power that we've given so easily away. All this amendment is saying, why did you take it out? Why did you take it out? Why are you forgetting about the 42 deaths on Highway 14? Why are you forgetting about the 47 serious injuries accidents on Highway 14? Why is it out of the 20-year plan, Commissioner? Call the families. Call the friends. Call the neighbors. Call the businesses that these fatalities and injuries have affected so greatly. I don't know what more I could say, because I can tell we don't want to change. We don't want to help set the priorities of this state, whether it be transportation or any other agency for that matter. Finally, members, I guess there is one person I know I can trust in this chamber, and I admire the work he's done. And Senator Gimsey, you made a statement that you would make sure that this plan would move forward and that you would make sure that MnDOT focused on Highway 14 as long as your chair. And I believe you. So with that, Madam President, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Senator Perry has withdrawn the A54 amendment. Senator Saxog, third time's the charm.
We certainly hope so, Madam President. So what we have now is the A70 amendment.
Senator Saxog offers the A70 amendment. The Secretary will report the
Senator
amendment.
Senator Saxog moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 40, after line 29, insert. This is the A70 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Saxog.
Thank you, Madam President. This amendment will change the penalty on real bank property right away from a petty misdemeanor to a misdemeanor. This is to prevent people from encumbering dedicated railroad right away. It was passed without dissent in the Judiciary Committee. I appreciate members' support. We'll stand for questions. I've conferred with Chairman Gimsey, and I think that he agrees with this particular amendment.
Further discussion of the A70 amendment. Senator Saxog renews his motion. The A70 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. I have Senator Gimsey next, but I will add Senator. Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I have another amendment that we've been working on. I needed to make some clarifications to it before I could offer it, and I appreciate your patience on it. I would like to offer the A-17 amendment.
Senator Gimsey offers the A-17 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Gimsey moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 3, delete Section 2. This is the A-17 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. And what this amendment does is it's a technical amendment. It deletes the sections in this bill that are that have either been enacted into law already, which could probably cause some confusion if we hadn't done this, and I don't want to anticipate anything, but there may be amendments to the bill based on not getting these provisions out of the bill. But a very technical amendment that just eliminates some of the provisions that have already been enacted into law and aren't necessary in this bill any longer.
Further discussion of the A-17 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Gimsey renews his motion. The A-17 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to offer the A-66.
Senator Michelle offers the A-66 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Michelle moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 43, delete Section 42. Insert. This is the A-66 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Members, this is the single license plate amendment. One is enough. One is enough. Members, 19 other states have gone in this direction, saying that one license plate is enough, including Pennsylvania and Florida. I offer it to help make it clear, to clear up any confusion that one is enough. This is popular, members, amongst your constituents, amongst customers, certainly also amongst the auto dealers of Minnesota. This had bipartisan support over in the other body. I know it has bipartisan support here. I have shared this with Senator Gimsey. I am hopeful he's considering it, but I know he's had some questions on this in the past, members, so I'd ask for your support.
Further discussion, Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Michelle, yield.
Senator Michelle will yield. Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Michelle, you've articulated, listed a number of folks and groups supporting it. What's the position of law enforcement, the Highway Patrol or related agencies?
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President, and thank you, Senator Cohen. I have not discussed this with them. I have a sense that you probably know the answer to your own question, because this is not a new issue in front of this body, but I suspect some of those groups have some reluctance to support this, but I'm hopeful that tonight the Senate will support it in a bipartisan fashion.
Further discussion on the A-66 amendment. Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President, and I rise to support this amendment. This is legal in 19 states, and you know, one of the things in the olden days when they had those big steel bumpers in the front, it was one thing to mount that license plate on there, but nowadays with these a lot of plastic on cars, oftentimes these license plates ends up scratching the bumpers on these cars, and you bump into something in the wintertime, you bump into a snowbank, and you end up breaking the plate, you end up breaking the bumper as a result of it. It just causes problems that we don't really need. And as far as identification goes, you know, when you get caught after you go by the highway patrol, and so they see the rear bump, the rear plate without any problem. And it's one of these things that is also a money saver. They won't have to print as many plates and make as many plates. And in these types of situations that we're in with budget problems all the time and not having enough money, anything we can save money on is a good thing. So I think this is a good amendment, members.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I couldn't help but hear when the description from Senator Tomasoni as to how people get caught when it go by. I would caution you that probably less people are going to get caught if there's going to be a plate, only one plate on the car in the rear of the car. Members, law enforcement, it is a tool for law enforcement to have it on the front. Now, I know there's been a push for this for a long time, but I, in good conscience, cannot support it, and for what it's worth. But understand, please, that when you're meeting a car, you know, you're trained to read the license plate number, and if that happens to be your car that's stolen, it would certainly be nice to have it on the front, and I think you would appreciate that. So there was in the Game and Fish Bill the other day, there was an attempt to take the numbers off the side of the snowmobiles, and that too was actually discussed and in our conference committee, and of course law enforcement didn't want to do that as well because they have to be able to identify, and that is one of the only means they can to identify, and license plates are too. So I would be using a lot of caution on this, members, but I know it's a cost savings to the people, and we are one of the few states left that allow that, but I have to stand in opposition to the amendment.
Senator Perry.
Thank you very much, Madam President and members. I'm going to stand with my law enforcement buddy, Senator Ingebrigtsen, folks, until you're there and worked and had to turn on a vehicle. I can just say from my experience in the years that I wore a badge is that I could have that license plate called in and virtually know what was going on with that vehicle before we pulled them over. And so I myself personally could not support this amendment, and I would ask that you not support it either.
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President and members. This is a provision that we haven't heard. We didn't hear this year or last in the Senate Transportation Committee. We've had no testimony on the part of law enforcement, but I certainly take the word of Senator Ingebrigtsen, Senator Perry, and their very valuable and experienced testimony on this from that direction. But we haven't had any testimony on this. We need to have a complete and thorough discussion of these types of provisions before we move forward with them, and just to be able to understand the full impacts to not only law enforcement but our entire transportation system in the state of Minnesota. So I would urge a no vote on this amendment.
Further discussion on the A66 amendment. Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. It was described that there are 19 other states that don't use a front license plate, and I was just wondering if anyone in the law enforcement community could say whether or not there's less crime or less criminals being arrested as a result of not having a license plate on the front of the car. I don't know if anyone has that data, but that's the issue that we really should be considering. I would imagine there's a cost savings on the license plate. The creation of double the license plates is what one might be necessary to have, but I have yet to hear the discussion about the facts, figures, numbers of whether or not criminals are being let go or you can't apprehend them simply because there's not a license plate on the front of a car. If anyone could add to this discussion, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Senator Ingebrigtsen.
Thank you, Madam President. And yes, Senator Limmer, to your point, you'd have about half as much of a chance of catching a bad guy with half as many license plates. So frankly, you know, really, when you're meeting a car, you are looking for that license plate. If it fits the description of the car that's missing or stolen, of course you're going to have a little more of an opportunity to look at that front plate. But they are difficult to look in the rearview mirror to be able to detect the license plate. You have to read it backwards. But meeting in the front, of course, as you can probably imagine, certainly is helpful. But are there statistics? Probably not. Probably not. But I would just say you'd have twice as an opportunity to catch the bad guy if you have two plates.
Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Michelle yield for a question?
Senator Michelle will yield. Senator Howe.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Michelle, you know, I serve as the Vice Chair of the Transportation Committee, and I'm just wondering why this issue wasn't brought forth so we could have a debate on this and get this information out. I necessarily wouldn't be opposed to a change, but I'd need to get the facts. I think that you've heard from some senators that have been involved in law enforcement, and I'd like to get the facts on this before this body makes a decision. So I'm just wondering if you could explain why this issue wasn't brought to the committee and what your thoughts are about bringing it to a committee so we could hear on it.
Senator Michelle.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Howe, I suspect there's no more time for a committee hearing on this kind of an issue. I also think it's fairly straightforward and simple. People will understand, and members understand where they are. We've heard from constituents. We've heard from those who've had to grapple with this issue before, and I suspect as Vice Chair of the Transportation Committee, you've already heard and probably even formed an opinion on it. So I think this will be a pretty easy one for the body to decide, Madam President.
Further discussion of the A66, Senator Limmer.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Ingebrigtsen, I suppose that if in Minnesota, if your premise is correct, we must arrest double the criminals in Minnesota as a result of having our license plates on the front of the car, as opposed to those 19 states that don't. You know, if I went out and looked at my car right now, I think I have a license plate that's maybe about 2 years old. I usually have so many bug stains on that license plate and rock chips, I don't think you could read the front number on the plate anyway.
Further discussion on the A66 amendment. Senator Michelle renews his motion the A66 amendment be adapted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The chair is in doubt. Those for please raise your hand or stand. I guess standing is easier. Stand if you support the A66 amendment. Those opposed, please stand. The amendment is not adopted. The numbers don't lie. Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President and members. I have the A65 amendment.
Senator Jungbauer offers the A65 amendment, but the Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Jungbauer moves to amend House File. Senator Jungbauer moves to amend House File number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012 as follows. Page 1 after line 24. Insert. This is the A65 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I'm glad that you had that segue, Madam President, said numbers don't lie. Members, this is a simple amendment that would authorize $100 million in trunk highway bonds. And members, what I'm having passed out to you is a fiscal note calculator and some of the numbers on what our debt service, what the debt service would be on the $100 million and what our debt service availability would be. And members, as you drive back and forth through districts, We know that we need more money out there for roads. It's not rocket science that our roads are in disrepair. And, you know, looking through things, I get frustrated every year, 8 years on the Transportation Committee. I'm always wondering why, when we need it most, and if there is money available. And as members know, projects are coming in 20-30% less than projected. Now is the time, members, if we have the availability of funding, if we have the availability of money to pay the debt service, when the projects come in that low and the need is that great, we certainly need to be able to put dollars on the ground. And I'll remind members, as these projects go through, MnDOT doesn't have to accept or issue the trunk highway bonds. But I get frustrated when I hear things like, well, they don't have the capacity to do things. Well, I don't know about you, members, but I think you dang well better ramp up when there's money available, when you're getting the projects done this cheap, and when there's this many people out of work in the state of Minnesota. I think you ought to get your butt in gear and ramp up and get some things done. And members, what this does is allows the availability of $100 million extra to be issued in trunk highway bonds to be used in the event, I would say it this way, in the event that they can ramp up and actually get projects ready to do. As you know, members, you don't have to, this is only an authorization, you don't have to go out and sell the bonds unless you find a way to use them. But I think it's ridiculous that we don't have the availability, because what that's telling MnDOT is, okay, we're satisfied. We're satisfied you're getting enough work done. Even though we can get you more money, we're not going to put it out there because you tell us you're at capacity or whatever the reason is. But we need roads done, and we need them done now, and people need jobs. And again, 20-30% savings on jobs, are we kidding? We can afford this, and we're not doing it now. I think it's a give-me amendment. I think if we don't give this to Minnesota, we look a little ridiculous, so I hope you'll support the A65 amendment.
Further discussion on the A65 amendment? Senator Gimsey.
Well, thank you, Mr. President and members. I very much appreciate Senator Jungbauer's efforts here to increase the amount of debt that we take in and take on, and the amount of transportation dollars, trunk highway fund dollars that we will be spending on additional debt service in this isn't currently within the structure of our budget or our plan as we have put it together for this biennium, and certainly maybe this is something to consider for the next biennium as we get new forecasts on how much money is coming in. We try to work with MnDOT to manage not just our cash flow, but the amount of dollars that we're spending from the Trunk Highway Fund. And my concern with this additional debt would be that we don't have the flexibility and the dollars that we need to support that, simply because debt is cheap at this point in time is not always a good reason to go out and borrow, especially when you do have a plan for how you're going to spend your transportation dollars. Just so that members know, over the last 2 years, we have spent a tremendous amount of money on our roads and our bridges in Minnesota. Just recently, I think about 3 weeks ago, it was announced that we would spend another $1.1 billion in Minnesota in this next year, and let over 300 contracts. So, you know, we're making very good progress. Certainly, we have a long ways to go, Senator Jungbauer, in meeting all of the needs in Minnesota, but I am very concerned about this amendment and what it'll do for our planning as we move forward. And I would, again, advise that maybe you want to bring this forward next year when we are looking at a new forecast and a new budget, and that we're able to plan for this within the scope of our transportation budget.
Senator, I would
recommend a no vote on this amendment. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Jungbauer.
Well, thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Gimsey. I'll just remind you that I won't be around next year. So you won't have to put up with me. Members, we understand that just by authorizing bonds, you don't have to sell them.
But by gosh, when we're getting projects done for 20 to 30% less than what we thought they would cost, and when borrowing is this cheap, and when the need is this great, and I'll remind Senator Gimsey that last time I was in Transportation Committee, we had projected that we needed to spend $1.1 to $1.2 billion a year for 20 years just to catch up. So we're that far behind, so I think it's imperative that we authorize whatever we can, and obviously you can see by what I handed out, we have a lot more capacity for debt service, and so I think this is a rather a conservative amendment to offer for, again, allowing someone to have the availability should we be able to kick some butts and get some projects ready, which I think we should be doing. So, members, I really hope you'll support this idea of allowing this authorization, knowing full well that many times we authorize things that aren't used because they just can't get the projects ready.
Further discussion on the A65 amendment. Senator Dibble.
Mr. President, can't find the rule in question, so I can't cite it or read it, but it would appear that this amendment may not be in order because it's an amendment that is bringing an appropriation to a bill that wasn't a part of the bill. So it would represent an appropriation that does not balance. It's an appropriation that doesn't net out. So it's an additional appropriation to the bill. I know that it's within the Trunk Highway Fund, but nevertheless, I believe the rule is not specific to general versus trunk highway funds.
Mr. President.
Senator Dunbar.
I think, Mr. President, if you look at the A2 amendment, then once that was placed on the bill, all bets were off on that, that this certainly meets any question once the A2 amendment was adopted.
Mr. President.
Senator Higgins.
Mr. President, a little more advice. The mechanism that Senator Jungbauer just used is called a bridge amendment, and it is not allowed. You can't put an amendment on that then makes your amendment germane.
I think the chair will rule according to 7.4 that the bill, the amendment, in fact, is germane in order when I read through 7.4, and that's the rule that you were looking at. Further discussion on A65. Seeing none, all those in favor of amendment A65 signify by saying aye. Opposed?
No.
Amendment does not prevail. Further, Senator. Pardon? No, I have Senator Rosen next.
Thank you, Mr. President. I have the A21 amendment.
Senator Rosen offers the A21 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Rosen moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012 as follows. Page 17 after line 32, insert. This is the A21 amendment.
To the A21 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President. Those famous license plates, special license plates. And this was actually brought to me just yesterday by some constituents and the mayor of Janesville. And they have been working on it diligently for a breast cancer awareness license plate. And it says Minnesota Cares. And you're getting something on your desk about what it should look like. Like I said, I just received it yesterday. And when they came to talk to me, I was actually surprised that Minnesota does not have a breast cancer awareness license plate. And there are so many other states that are having that and that are doing that awareness movement. And in 2012, it's estimated that among U.S. women, there is 226,000 1,000 new cases of invasive breast cancer and 63,000 new cases of non-invasive. Aside from non-melanoma, skin cancer, breast cancer is the most common cancer among women in the United States. So this would actually be something that I think everybody in this chamber could relate to. They probably know somebody, maybe in their family, like my sister, who suffered greatly from breast cancer, or one of their friends, loved ones that have had breast cancer. It could be possibly a gift for Mother's Day, for in memory of this person. And by golly, members, the NFL wears pink in support of breast cancer awareness. I talked to Chair Gimsey, and I know he has some reservations about all these special license plates, and I certainly understand this. I think breast cancer rises above many of these issues, and I think it's worthy of this discussion, and I would appreciate your support.
Further discussion on the A21 amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Mr. President, and members. You know, Senator Rosen, you are absolutely right. Breast cancer is a very worthwhile endeavor, you know, to fight breast cancer, to bring awareness of it, you know, and you know, Senator DeKreif came to me earlier this session with a motorcycle, start seeing motorcycle bill, plate bill, and, you know, probably equally as important to Senator DeKreif, it would be that plate. You know, Senator Senjum came to me earlier with an American Cancer Society plate and asked if we could work on that and have that plate. And, you know, no less important to Senator Senjum or to anybody else would be the American Cancer Society. What a wonderful organization that's been around for 50 years. The many, many members, Senator Tomasoni, I've been fighting off a plate proposal on his part for ambulances. And the reason, members, so you understand why, you know, I've been reluctant to move forward with this is because we are working as hard as we can to come up with a plate that would accommodate all of these different, very worthwhile, very worthy organizations in that we divide the plate or fashion it in a way that we can have some flexibility to change a decal or the logo or whatever it might be. But currently we have over 140 different license plates in the state of Minnesota, and law enforcement is becoming extremely concerned with the number that we have and being able to identify whether a plate is even from the state of Minnesota. So I would give you the advice that I've been giving everybody else, and that is to work with us, you know, allow us to work through a process of creating a license plate that can accommodate all of these good ideas and all of these good efforts that are very similar, Senator Rosen, to your bill. And, you know, I deeply appreciate your motivation and what you're trying to do. I would ask that members not support this at this time and allow us the opportunity to find a design and a way to accommodate everybody and get a handle on the number of plates that we have.
Further discussion on the A21 amendment, Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. President, and thank you, Senator Gimsey. I appreciate your willingness to look at this next year. I understand the situation that you're in. It is just difficult with over 100 license plates. I understand that. I do know that whenever you see anything pink, you automatically have that breast cancer awareness, and I think that's worthy of the ongoing discussion. I do want to say, though, that in here I have 2,100 signed, 2,100 signatures from people throughout the area that feel very strongly about this Jesse's Plate, they call it. And there would be a donation of $20 to the Masonic Cancer Center at the University of Minnesota for breast cancer research. And I think the people that are endorsing it, that have brought this to me yesterday, are very passionate. They're very appreciative of their loved one that is a survivor. And I will look forward to working on this next year with you, Senator Gimsey, Chair Gimsey. So, Mr. President, I remove the A21.
Senator Rosen withdraws the A21 amendment. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I have the A68 amendment.
Senator Sharon offers the A68 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Sharon moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012 as follows, page 44, line 23. This is the A68 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Sharon.
Thank you. This is in reference to Section 58 of the bill. It is an exemption from motor vehicle sales tax for the purchase of a motor vehicle. This was reviewed in our committee. The incidents that brought this forward was the Open Door Healthcare Clinic in Mankato had purchased a mobile unit. Under all circumstances, this should have been exempted from the motor vehicle sales tax, but apparently the language wasn't clear enough to afford for this. So what this amendment does is make a correction that was in the original amendment, which was to make the amendment retroactive to January 1st, 2011. I appreciate your support, and I have reviewed this with the author.
Further discussion on the A68 amendment. Seeing none, all those, Senator Gibson.
Thank you, Mr. President. And just so members know, Senator Sharon and I have talked about this. It was a part of the original bill for this continued exemption, and I would support this amendment.
Further discussion. All those in favor of the A68 amendment signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Further discussion. Further discussion. We have Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to offer the A60 amendment.
Senator Cruz offers the A60 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Cruz moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012 as follows, page 14 after line 32. This is the A60 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This is actually an amendment that was a bill that was brought forth to me by the Department of Transportation. Worked with this one with Eric Rudine and Tom Sabicki, who's a maintenance engineer with the department, and it was signed off on by Commissioner Sorrell. Essentially what this amendment is it's a it was a law that we had concerning bridge inspection and regulations. With the recent focus on bridge management, significant changes have been made to the national and state bridge inspection policies. This proposal in front of us would update state statute and rules to reflect current national bridge inspection standards and regulations, and also with the come into compliance with the department standards. As a statewide bridge inspection program manager, MnDOT is responsible for the inspection of all public highway bridges within the state. This proposal will clarify the responsibilities of bridge owners and help to ensure that our program remains compliant with federal and state laws. Members, this amendment does that in a couple of different ways. The first way is at the federal level, we have switched over from the manual for condition evaluation of bridges to a more updated manual, the manual for bridge evaluations. The major portion of this amendment is simply adopting that manual as required by federal statute into our statutes. There are a couple of other quick changes that are made here, specifically. We have a mandate for frequency requirements on the inspection of underwater structural elements where there was none before. They put a requirement in for every 60 months. We also introduce a new requirement for inspections on fractural critical members, and that's going to be 24 months. Members, with that, I'd appreciate a green vote. Oh, and by the way, this was heard in Transportation Committee and passed out.
Further discussion on the A60 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye. Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Senator Latz.
Mr. President, I have the A71 amendment.
Senator Latz offers the A71 amendment. Secretary will report.
Senator Latz moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012 as follows. Page 36 after line 16. Insert. This is the A71 amendment.
To the A71 amendment, Senator Latz.
Thank you, Mr. President and members. This amendment would bring into the ignition interlock program that protects the public safety cases in which criminal vehicular operation results in a complaint or a conviction. This was almost all of what's in this amendment was contained in Senator Ingebrigtsen's bill that was passed out of Judiciary and the Transportation Committees last year. When it was not brought up on the floor last spring, it reverted back to the Transportation Committee. I have talked with Senator Ingebrigtsen about this as well, and he is supportive, has informed me anyway that he supports it, Chairman Gimsey has indicated that. I've also spoken with the Minnesota Department of Public Safety, they find it acceptable as well, and they have reviewed the language in the amendment also. Specifically, what this would do, the purpose of the ignition interlock program is when people get arrested for DWI-related cases and their licenses are suspended or revoked, they have the opportunity to reinstate their driving privileges if they're part of an electronic ignition interlock program that plugs into the ignition in their motor vehicle, and they have to provide a breath sample to verify that they are alcohol-free before the vehicle will start. It's used in many states around the country. We have had it in Minnesota for 6 years or so. It's now a statewide program. As a practical matter, what it does is it gets people into the safe way of operating a motor vehicle rather than, as is well known, many individuals who, when they lose their license, but they still feel they need to get to work to be able to support their family or pay the mortgage, they will drive, but often without a valid license and without insurance. So the ignition interlock program gets them valid, and it requires proof of insurance paid ahead for at least 1 year. Specifically, this bill will take, it's not the entire criminal vehicular operation statute, it's the provisions in the statute where there is bodily harm or substantial bodily harm. It does not apply to great bodily harm or fatalities. It applies to suspensions of driving privileges, which occur upon a criminal complaint being issued. And it also applies to the revocations which follow a conviction, which in CVO cases is often 6 or 8 months later. Individuals whose licenses are suspended would be entitled, if they meet the other qualifications for reinstatement, get a limited license for work purposes for 1 year. Comply with the terms of the program for that year, meaning no alcohol use or whatever other conditions there are for reinstatement of their full driving privileges, after that time they can get full driving privileges with the ignition interlock restriction continuing. This is a public safety initiative that I hope you will join me in supporting.
Further discussion on the A71 amendment? Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Will Senator Latz yield?
He will yield.
Thank you. Senator Latz, I just have a couple questions about this. I've been interested in this initiative myself, but a couple questions that I cannot tell from the amendment. The first question is, does this just apply to those who have had their licenses suspended or revoked due to DWI, or is it broader than that? And then I'd also like you to address the potential cost. And who would pay for it?
Senator Latz.
Mr. President, Senator Nelson, current DWI ignition interlock program covers alcohol-related DWIs and drug or controlled substance-related DWIs. So this amendment would cover those components of the CVO statute as well. alcohol-related CVOs, and controlled substance-related CVOs. It would not apply to CVOs that are related to leaving the scene of an accident or relating to gross negligence. So only the alcohol and controlled substance-related CVOs would apply here, just as an underlying ignition interlock program for other offenses. With regard to the cost, the program is designed to be self-sustaining in terms of the fees that are paid for the reinstatement fees, for the monthly fees. Most of the program costs for someone to have an ignition interlock device go to the private contractor that is providing the device itself. It's essentially like a rental or a lease fee per month, and there's an installation fee as well. The Department of Public Safety has informed me that there may be some minor computer-related programming changes they'll have to make, and that they are prepared to absorb whatever those costs are to implement this program.
Further discussion on the A71 amendment? Seeing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Amendment prevails. Senator Bonhoff.
Mr. President, I do not have an amendment, but I did want to take this opportunity to just say a few words about an issue that my community has been struggling with since I got to the legislature, which this is my seventh year, and that is the stretch of Highway 494 that begins at 394 and goes through the city of Plymouth and into Maple Grove. I understand that we don't do earmarks and we don't create projects through legislation, so I am not bringing forward an amendment today, but as legislators, we actually have another path, and that is as one who can bring parties together to try and find resolution. So I'm here today particularly proud of the folks in Plymouth. The City Council and the Mayor of Plymouth, the engineer, has been working very hard, in cooperation with the folks from Minnetonka and the surrounding communities as well, to try and find some resolution to the problem with traffic congestion on the stretch of highway. And originally, MnDOT suggested that if there was to be a lane expansion, it would have to be a managed lane. The people in Plymouth found that quite absurd because they felt as though there would be free-flowing traffic until you got right to their community, and then it would be managed, and then when you got to 394, again, it would be free-flowing, and so they felt as though that was not a workable solution. Yet, and so also, members should understand that 7 years ago, this was in the 20-year plan. Then it did get taken out when the other expansion happened. Money ran out, and this part was not finished. Then when the folks did not agree to the solution of a managed lane, it got shelved until some resolution could be gained. After many, many discussions and several of us convening meetings, including other legislators in the chamber have joined me in those meetings, there has been a resolution. There's being a letter sent to the folks from Plymouth stating that based on their request and in our meetings, MnDOT will undertake a study to look at having a managed lane expansion. Having said that, I will also say that they are looking at that for the entire corridor, not just this piece. And in the meantime, as we are here today, they are studying whether or not there can be a short-term solution whereby they would use the shoulder, perhaps do some striping. I would have hoped that project could begin as early as next year. I'm told it could perhaps take until 2014. But so I stand here because I think it's important for those folks who do pay attention to what's happening and who, when they don't see their legislators put forth bills, they may think that we, in fact, aren't advocating on behalf of our community members. My community members, I want you to know that this is an important project and that it is moving forward, and I thank all those who are making that happen, including the folks at MnDOT, the people in the city, and all the citizens who have spoken out. Thank you.
Further discussion on House File 2685. Secretary will give. Senator Tomasoni.
Madam President, I have the A64 amendment.
Senator Tomasoni offers the A64 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Tomasoni moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 17 after line 32. Insert. This is the A64 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, I know Senator Gibbons, you mentioned this before, but I believe this one might be a little bit of an exception for a couple of reasons. When I noticed that Senate File 1140 was included in the bill, it was Senator Perry's bill, I noticed that the firefighter plates that I am referring to here were not included in the bill, and I thought it might have been an oversight because Senate File 1140 passed off of the Senate floor with 55 votes, and this retired firefighter plate was included in it. Members, this went through the process. It went through the Transportation Committee. It passed out of the Transportation Committee unanimously. It passed out of the Finance Committee twice unanimously. And it came to the Senate floor, and it was passed on the Senate floor and then passed on Senate File 1140. So I realize, Senator Gimsey, that you don't like these kind of things, but in this particular case, I think you can draw an exception just because of the fact that we have a recorded vote on the Senate floor, and also that retired firefighters had firefighter plates before they retired, and then they were not allowed to keep the plates anymore because of a technicality about them possibly getting into a fire scene while they retired. And so, members, since you all voted for this already, I think it makes sense that we vote for it one more time. Appreciate your support.
Further discussion of the A64 amendment, Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Tomasoni, you characterized that I don't like this type of thing, and that's not a fair or accurate reflection of my view on these plates. I think I was quite clear when I described where we are with Senator Rosen, and you know, I would very much appreciate the opportunity to work through this process. We are working through it. To find a plate that can accommodate all of these folks, the firefighters, nobody more than I would love to accommodate the firefighters. Who could be against the firefighters or the police or the American Heart Association or all of these other organizations? But Senator Tomasoni, I hope that you and other members will appreciate that we're working toward a solution to this, and that eventually we will get there, and if I'm chair, maybe even by next year, we'll have that accomplished over the interim and be able to accommodate the whole host of special, very fine groups that would like to be recognized on the front and rear of the vehicles in Minnesota.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Madam President. Senator Gimsey, I apologize if I mischaracterized your position on this. I do believe, though, that in this particular case that the department did say that making these plates is very simple now, and they can actually do it digitally, and so that putting these plates together and coming up with just one more wouldn't be a problem. And like I said, since we've already all voted for this on the Senate floor, it seems to me that this would be an easy one to put on the bill, and then you could work it into your plan for the following year to show everybody how easy it is to actually do this. So I appreciate your support, Madam Chair.
Further discussion on the A64 amendment. Senator Tomasoni renews his motion the A64 be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is adopted. Further discussion, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. I'd like to offer the A69
adopted.
Amendment.
I'm sorry, it was adopted, yes.
Division.
You know what, I will allow it, even though I have called on Senator Cruz. Division on the A64 amendment. Those in favor, please stand. Please be seated. Those opposed, please stand. Chair stands corrected. The motion is not adopted. Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President. We'll try this one more time. I would like to offer the A69 amendment.
Senator Cruz offers the A69 amendment. Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Cruz moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 3 after line 3, insert. This is the A69 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President and members. Essentially, what this amendment would do is offer free parking on the Capitol grounds for all of our veterans who have veterans plates. Just very quickly, to list off the plates that would include, this would include our Ready Reserve, regular veterans plates, Medal of Honor plates, former prisoner of war plates, Gold Star plates, and proud to be a veteran plate, as well as the National Guard plates. Members, this legislation came forward actually with one of the gentlemen who led us in the Pledge of Allegiance earlier last year. He was from my district, and I had an opportunity to have a conversation with him after he helped us with that. And he said, you know, one of the problems that we as veterans run into on the Capitol grounds here is we get these passes that they run out of to go into the Veterans Affairs building. And he said, you know, it'd really be nice if we wouldn't have to worry about going in and getting those passes. We have a lot of veterans who are wounded. It's a big inconvenience for them to get in and out of their cars. And originally the legislation started out kind of broad. We were offering this to all public facilities. We were going to offer the veterans to park free. We quickly realized that there were some unintended consequences with that. So eventually what we did in Senator Perry's committee before we passed it out there was just shrunk this down to only the Capitol grounds area here. And for all those members who are concerned about a conflict of interest, the veteran in the room here, I have been informed that Aurora Avenue out front is a public street, so that would not be included in this. So with that, members, I would appreciate a green vote.
Further discussion on the A69 amendment. Senator Latz.
Will Senator Cruz yield for a question?
Senator Cruz will yield. Senator Latz.
Senator Cruz, the parking spaces that you're referring to, what is their current use?
Senator Cruz.
Thank you, Madam President and Senator Latz. I don't know what the current capacity is. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but I can tell you that the number that we're talking about, overall plates that this would cover, is right around half of 1% of all license plates that are given. And I would also tell you that this the demographics of the group who would use this are the veterans who are doing business at the Veterans Service Building and military members who are visiting the St. Paul Armory. So a lot of these are going to kind of be quick in and out type things.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, perhaps Senator Cruz did not understand my question. I referred to the parking spaces that would be given out at no charge. What is their current use? Are these metered spaces? Are these spaces that are currently paid for by leases or parking permits or something like that?
Senator Cruz.
Madam President and Senator Latz, yes, these are the metered spaces.
Senator Latz.
Well, Madam President, I would love to see some way to give free parking to the veterans when they come to visit the Veterans Service Office or the building. But it sounds like there would be at least some fiscal impact here, or potentially reducing the revenue from the parking spaces that would have to be kept available for the use, or the parking meters that would not be receiving funds. And I don't want to be the bad guy to stand up here and raise this question when this is the money that, this is a benefit that would go to our veterans who've obviously sacrificed a lot, but I think we need to ask the fiscal question here. And it sounds like it might be out of order under Rule 7.5, so I'll ask the President to take a review on under 7.5.
Further advice?
Madam President.
Senator Cruz.
Madam President, if I'm not mistaken, 7.5 has to be an omnibus appropriations bill. And if I'm not mistaken, the bill before us is not an omnibus appropriations bill.
Madam President.
Senator Lori, further advice?
Further advice. You know, in this section 7 here, it's really talking about budget targets, and you need to read the entire section as a whole. And it's really kind of restricting spending to these budget bills is how it's acting broadly. And so while 7, 4, 5, and 6 are saying how they apply to the budget bills, in 7.1 and 7.2, it's that the committees on taxes and finance are supposed to set our budget targets, and we're not supposed to operate outside of those, and they're supposed to be set publicly. And so then the rest of Rule 7 is regarding then, after they've made it through the process, how they're handled. But the whole gist of the budget targets in Section 7, in Rule 7, is saying that we need to set our budget targets publicly and stick within them.
Madam President.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President, and I will just say I appreciate how much smaller this proposal is than the proposal that Senator Cruz had brought to committee, which construed every parking space in the state that was owned publicly as designated as free for folks with these license plates. And that was certainly cause for a great deal of consternation and concern by lots and lots of public entities, not the least of whom were local units of government that rely on funds
to pay for parking. Is there advice for the chair in there, Senator Dibble?
The point is that we did discern through that hearing process that whenever you give free parking at public spaces, there is a fiscal impact to that.
Advice, Madam President.
Senator Latz.
Madam President, I have in front of me the fiscal impact summary for the omnibus transportation bill that we have before us. And it's got $1.6 million, it looks like, in FY12 in cost to the state. So there clearly are some appropriations in here, and it's got tails on it as well. So it seems to me that there needs to be some accounting for the amendments in the same regard. And so I would submit that 7.5 would apply.
Further advice, Senator Cruz?
Madam President, I would again point you to the beginning of 7.5, where it clearly defines that this must be an omnibus appropriations or tax bill. And if you look at 7.3, the only transportation-related one is the Transportation Appropriations Bill. Madam Chair, that is not the bill that we have in front of us.
I am going to rule the A69 amendment in order. Further discussion to the A69? Seeing none, Senator Cruz renews his motion. The A69 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye. Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is not adopted. Further discussion on House File 2685. Seeing none, the Secretary, Senator Sharon.
Thank you. I'd like to offer the A73 amendment.
Senator Sharon offers the A73 amendment. The Secretary will report the amendment.
Senator Sharon moves to amend House File Number 2685 as amended by the Senate May 1st, 2012, as follows. Page 3 after line 26, insert. This is the A73 amendment.
To the amendment, Senator Sharon.
Thank you very much. This amendment, in honor of 44 years of service to the state of Minnesota, offers to name a bridge that is in Mankato called the Minnesota River Crossing. for James Swanson, who was the district engineer in the ATP 7 for several years, has worked really since age 20 for the Department of Transportation in one form or another. He played a critical role in many of the projects in the ATP number 7, which is the area that I represent. He is retiring this year. His retirement is June 27th, and there's been a request that this bridge be named in his honor. I would like you to know that one of the things that I requested in this amendment is that the Area Transportation Partnership affirm that they agree with this request on behalf of James Swanson. At the time that I made the amendment, I had not heard back from them, but I have since then, and they do affirm that they would like to honor this longtime employee of the Minnesota Department of Transportation, and especially the Area Transportation 7 area, by allowing this bridge to be named in his honor.
Further discussion to the A73 amendment? Senator Gimsey?
Well, thank you, Madam President, and just so members know, I do support this. I had an opportunity to meet Mr. Swanson this past summer as Representative Beard and I did our statewide tour of the district offices, and got to know him a little bit, and the very fond appreciation that the community has for him and his hard work over the years for the state of Minnesota through the through MnDOT, and I again support this amendment.
Senator Benson.
Thank you, Madam President, and I rise out of concern for naming things after people while they might be very nice and be very hardworking. Pretty soon we're going to have everything in the state named after somebody because we have a lot of nice, hardworking people here, and while this man probably was a very devoted civil servant, there might be other people in the region deserving of having something named after them as well.
Further discussion of the A73 amendment. Senator Sharon.
Thank you. And also, Senator Rosen isn't in the chamber now, but she was also has parts of the ATP Area 7 that are in her district, and she is aware of this bill. But that's exactly why, Senator Benson, I wanted to make sure that the representatives of the Area Transportation Partnership Number 7, which covers a large area, weighed in on this. And that language is very specific, a limitation in this amendment.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. Just wanted to ask the author of the bill, Senator Gimsey, are there criteria in statute about naming things? Do we have anything generally that describes what kinds of things can be named and under what circumstances and who might be candidates for naming things, or is it sort of just a wide open deal?
Senator Gimsey.
Madam Chair, I will yield. I don't think, I'm not aware that we have criteria. We do have criteria on where the plaques can be located on the bridge. We have a number of provisions in both of our policy bills to name bridges and stretches of highway. Possibly going forward, we may have to look at that. I understand the concern. And but likewise, I appreciate the many years of dedicated service. This community has come together and wants this provision, and they're very supportive of it. You know, I guess with that level of interest and support for a provision such as this, I would be hard-pressed, no matter what they were going to name, attach a name to, whether it be a light post or something else, which is what they'll probably want to name for me someday. I appreciate the concerns, but this is a well-supported provision, and maybe we should look at some criteria at some point in time.
Senator Hand.
Thank you, Madam President. And I just, I know in the amendment it says notwithstanding, and there's a provision in law that does speak to this. It says that that we're not supposed to name things after, name for living persons.
And it says we cannot name councils, buildings, roads, or other facilities or entities after living people. And I, again, I'm not trying to suggest this isn't appropriate, but I just think that we do have some criteria, maybe needs to expand it or be expanded or changed, but if we're doing a lot of naming of things in notwithstanding a provision we already have in law, then maybe we ought to repeal the law that we have and enact something else.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. Would Senator Sharon yield?
Senator Sharon will yield. Senator Carlson.
Senator Sharon, has this been heard in committee?
Senator Sharon.
Thank you, Senator, for the question. No, this has not been heard in committee. This is a request that came to me very, very late in the session, and it doesn't have a fiscal impact because the cost of the signage is to be borne by the local ATP. And so because of that, I discussed this with Senator Gimsey and also wanted to make sure that the area ATP, the representatives who are representing the entire ATP, were aware that this request was being made and would be supportive of it.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Madam President. I don't see, as I'm reading this amendment, I don't see where it passes the fiscal responsibility onto the ATP. Can you point that out to me, Senator Sharon?
Senator Sharon?
It's not articulated in the language, but it is in the law as it relates to the naming of bridges. If it's to be signed and named, that it's a local responsibility.
Further discussion on the A73 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Sharon renews her motion the A73 amendment be adopted. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The motion is adopted. Further discussion? Secretary will give House File 2685 its third reading.
House File Number 2685, a bill for an act relating to transportation, third reading.
Madam President.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, if Senator Gimsey would yield.
Senator Gimsey will yield. Senator Cohen.
Okay, Madam President, Senator Gimsey, I'm looking at Section 5, which is the contingent appropriations, and we've seen other efforts during the course of the session in other parts of the statutes, other sections of the finance process. This seems to be a little bit more complicated and possibly a little bit more inclusive as to how this would be handled, a little bit broader language. Can you indicate where this comes from, how it was drafted, what the intent is?
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Cohen, I was kind of wondering how we were getting through this bill without having some questions about this, because it's a very important provision as we move forward with transportation in Minnesota. But this was drafted with the intent of keeping a very narrowly focused set of projects that have already been contracted. The contracts have been let. The work and the planning over sometimes a decade or longer has gone into these projects. The money has been set aside and planned for on an ongoing basis. As you know, in transportation, the sums that and the expense of these projects can be huge. And the projects are not always funded with 1 year's allocation of dollars, but over multiple years and fit within the budget of the Trunk Highway Fund, which is, again, a constitutionally dedicated fund. And so the intent is to just keep these state projects going as they should, as highway projects should go, and on an ongoing basis. And so that was the thought and the consideration that went into this particular bill.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Gimsey, if we go back to last year and go back to the budget you presented to the Senate, what amount of your omnibus transportation bill would have found itself included in this language?
Senator Gimsey.
Well, thank you, Madam President. And Senator Cohen, I couldn't tell you the specific dollar value of the ongoing appropriation for those particular projects, but I can tell you that the dollars that were being spent on those projects had been planned for and appropriated over many years. And, you know, sometimes, whether it be through the ATP process or, you know, all road projects take a tremendous amount of planning, whether they're city, county, state projects. They are planned for years in advance. The allocated dollars or the dollars that will be spent on those projects are planned out many years in advance. So whether all of the funding for a particular project is in 1 year or over a number of years, we generally know what money will be coming into the Trunk Highway Fund. We forecast that, we predict that, and our planning agency, in this case, which is MnDOT, budgets for these projects years in advance and lays out the total plan over the period of time.
Senator Cohen.
Madam President, Senator Gimsey, I understand what you've said, but we can make that argument with almost anything else in the state budget. Obviously, we appropriate money on a biennium basis relative to the schools, but we have a school aids formula that's in statute that we utilize on the 2 year cycle. We don't necessarily have to appropriate money. It's an open and standing appropriation. So if we were to have a shutdown, arguably that continues, but not the entirety of the education budget continues. We have formulas that are utilized within the Human Service Department that continue on a year-to-year basis. We have to appropriate the money. We have capital projects that are appropriated that arguably continue on a year-to-year basis. When we set a biennial budget, we do so for the entirety of the budget. And my concern, as I've indicated previously on the floor of the Senate this year, is that when we attempt to have this kind of an artificial budget imposed on state government, it, as was stated by Governor Plenty, as I've stated in quoting Governor Plenty, puts the government on autopilot. If the legislature can't assume its appropriate responsibility to determine what the budget is, to start segregating one part of the budget versus another, to suggest that there's a higher level of immediacy or importance for one part of the budget or another, sets up a bifurcated budget that is inadvisable no matter what. But this language, and I understand, Senator Gimsey, your concern with your part of the budget, but this language simply does what I've objected to several times during the course of this session, which is to put the government on autopilot, to take away the legislative decisions that ought to be made when we contemplate that budget, that biennial budget, as we'll do next year. And to set up this kind of artificiality, I would suggest, is inappropriate and is something that simply is contrary to what is good management of the state budget. So I like a lot of what you've done with this bill, but I think it's necessary to vote against it when we substitute the judgment of a legislature for a permanent statutory authority for spending.
Senator Gimsey.
Thank you, Madam President. And Senator Cohen, while I do appreciate your comments and your thoughts about putting this on these particular projects on autopilot, I think what we all need to understand is that transportation projects like these that we are trying to continue the effort and continue the work on must be, by their nature, on autopilot. We give MnDOT, through the ATP process, through their own planning process, the authority to prioritize these projects over a long period of time. And when we give them the authority to plan these projects over a long period of time, we must also give them the authority to allocate or understand that these constitutionally dedicated funds will go toward those projects over the entire term of the project. We don't set up a bridge project over 5 years and simply decide in one biennial budget to fund 2 years of that project, we fund the entire project. So those dollars have all been planned and coordinated and yes, put on autopilot, because it's an absolute necessity that when you have projects the size of the ones that we have, certainly in transportation, that they must be on autopilot if we are going to have any type of continuity moving forward with these types of projects. You know, I understand your concern with the general fund budget, but the relationship to transportation is completely different. The general fund and the items that are funded through the general fund are not funded through constitutionally dedicated dollars. Our founding fathers, when they created the Constitution, or our predecessors, I should say, were very wise in that they allocated gas tax dollars, license registration fee dollars, and these transportation user fees to be used specifically in the Constitution for these projects. They have no effect on the greater discussion, the bigger discussion of how we're going to spend our general fund dollars on education, health and human services, and all of the other areas of the budget that we fund with general fund dollars. These are specific, dedicated funds. And again, I would tell you that it was, I believe, 165 projects that were shut down during the shutdown last summer. We are only focusing on them. We're not talking about funding MnDOT or any other agency in its entirety, like you may have characterized in your statement. The only people who will be working in the agency within MnDOT are those people who are essential to keep this very narrow set of projects going in the event of a shutdown. So it's not like opening up the whole agency or a whole area to ongoing funding. This is very specific. It's contracted projects where dirt is moving and where these projects are moving forward, and where this is also different than any other budget area is in that we don't pay damages. We don't pay for shutting any of the other areas down. In education or health and human services or whatever the budget area might be, but we do in transportation. And that short 20-day shutdown when we had the budget problems and the shutdown can cost us, you know, anywhere they're estimating from $30 to $50 million. Well, that's money that could be going toward road projects here in Minnesota that won't be spent, because we didn't have this provision in law prior to the end of June last year. That's wasted dollars, and that's dollars that aren't typical to any other budget area that we have. So we're using constitutionally dedicated dollars to fund ongoing long-term projects, and that actually cost us money when we have to dismantle equipment, take equipment and people off of these job sites. It's very narrowly crafted to just those specific projects. And I would...
Senator Cohen?
Madam President, just briefly, Senator Gimsey, a couple of comments. One, relative to the concern about contracts, that could be true of any contract with an outside vendor, whether it's a highway contract or anything else. The life of the contract is not one that is contemporaneous with the biennial budget. Second, as to your concern about the constitutionally dedicated fund, there are other constitutionally dedicated funds, so I would suggest that's a distinction without a difference. We should then have the same rule for every constitutional dedicated fund. So I would suggest those comments again, don't distinguish this part of the budget from many other parts of the budget.
Senator Dibble.
Thank you, Madam President. Madam President, I just wanted to take this opportunity to recognize Chair Gimsey and his hard and careful work. We have a fairly large bill now with lots and lots of provisions in it, most of which I think are important have been sought by a number of people over the course of this session, and some of these provisions actually have been sought over the course of a number of years. Senator Gimsey knows a couple of little points in the bill that still stick in my craw. We just had a discussion about those. We've had many, many long discussions in committee, and Chair Gimsey gives a great speech in response to the speech that I give, which is much like Senator Cohen's speech. A couple of other little things, but you know, that's the nature of the beast in these large omnibus policy bills with lots and lots of provisions. But I did want to commend Senator Gimsey. This last couple of years, these transportation bills have become Christmas trees, and some of the ornaments weren't as pretty as others. It's a pretty good-looking Christmas tree all in all. A couple of ugly ornaments, but he's done a good job, and I want to thank him for that.
Further discussion? Secretary will take the roll on House File 2685. All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 60 ayes and 3 nays, the bill is passed and its title agreed to. Senator Gimsey.
Madam President, I move that Senate File 2321, number 59 on general orders, be stricken and laid on the table.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Senator Senjum.
Madam President, a brief recess, please, to for purposes of appointing a conference committee.
All in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. We are in brief recess.
Madam President, is there a privileged report at the desk?
Yes, there is. The secretary will report.
Senator Senjum from the Subcommittee on Conference Committees recommends that the following senators be and they hereby are appointed as a conference committee on Senate File 1755, Senators Gazelka, DeCraif, and Daly. House File Number 1721, Senators Rosen, Peterson, and Scoy. Senator Senjum moves that the foregoing appointments be approved.
On that motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion does prevail. Moving to the 13th order of business, announcements of Senate interest. There are several excuses. Without objection, the following members will be excused. Senator Chamberlain and Thompson from 425 to 440. Senator Dietzick, from 630 to the end of session. Senator Koch and Ortman from 630 to the end of session. Senator Magnus from 630 to 730 p.m. Senator Langseth from 740 to the end of session. Without objection, they are excused. Further announcements, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Madam President. Members, we lost a Minnesota hero on Sunday. Sergeant Nicholas Dickett, a 23-year-old man from Stuartville, died during a firefight in southern Afghanistan's Kandahar province. It was Nick's second deployment to Afghanistan. He blew out his knee during his first deployment and could have received medical discharge, but he rehabbed his knee and asked to be redeployed. I ask for a moment of silence in his memory.
Members, please stand for a moment of silence. Thank you, members. Further announcements? Senator Senjum. Oh, Senator Bach? Senator Senjum. Senator Senjum.
Is that
both
is,
of you are waving me off, so
yield,
whichever, yeah,
Senator
we
Bach
can toss a coin.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Madam President, what we're going to do at this point is, as we do adjourn, we're going to adjourn until 3 o'clock on Thursday, May 3rd. We've got some new obvious developments in the mix here. We've got some, need some time to work on them to some great extent. There's not a whole lot left in the bill pile in terms of coming forward with those kind of things. I would add also that the Senate Republicans will caucus tomorrow at 1 o'clock in room 318, and we'll continue on, obviously, Madam President, members, May 3rd at 3 o'clock. So unless there are any questions, I would do now move that we do adjourn until May 3rd at 3 o'clock.
Madam President.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, I would like to amend the time that we're going to reconvene to noon on Wednesday. And it's a debatable motion. I'd like to speak to it.
Senator Bach.
Madam President, members, waste another day. We have the Conference Committee on the Omnibus Tax Bill sitting at the desk. It will take this body hours to process that report and get that on to the governor. Senator Gimsey has a transportation bill that's been special ordered a number of times, has been pulled off, and we can see today how these transportation bills go. They take hours with dozens of amendments. I think we're missing an opportunity if we don't do business tomorrow, and I think Minnesotans are going to be asking, why are they taking a day off? Why are they not working? We're approaching the adjournment date here. Tomorrow would be an opportunity to process some business that I think we would miss a great opportunity if we didn't meet tomorrow and get some of our work done here. And Madam President, I'd like a roll call vote.
Madam President, I would oppose the motion. We've got a lot of work to do. We've got 4 or 5 days left, I'm not sure, but we're at that point in time. We need to start conserving these such that we use them appropriately. When the day comes to bring these bills up, there are 24 hours in that day. We can make sure that we get that work done. So I would oppose the motion and suggest that, again, May 3rd at 3 o'clock be our appointed adjournment, pardon me, not adjournment, time of reconvening of this Senate. And do we now do adjourn?
Secretary will take the roll on the Bach.
Madam President.
Senator Hand.
Just want a point of clarification. And Senator Senjum, your original motion was it to adjourn till 1 o'clock or 3 o'clock on Thursday?
Madam President.
Senator Senjum.
To 3 o'clock on Thursday, May 3rd, the Senate Republicans would caucus tomorrow at 1 o'clock in room 318.
Just for clarifications. Senator Senjum's original motion, as he stated, was for Thursday, May 3rd at 3 o'clock. Senator Bach's motion, or amendment to that motion, would be noon on Wednesday, May 2nd. Secretary will take the roll on the Bach amendment.
That is close to it, though.
All those senators having voted who desire to vote, the secretary will close the roll. There being 28 ayes and 32 nays, the amendment is not adopted. We have before us Senator Senjum's original motion to adjourn until May 3rd at 3 o'clock. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
We are adjourned.
Ha ha ha.